This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. This Sunday is the 75th Golden Globe Awards, honoring the best in film and television from the past year. We're going to take a close look at one of the big nominees in just a few moments, and you can share your favorites right now at 800-642-1234. What TV shows? We're going to focus on those mostly. You can throw in movies if you want. What shows do you think deserve a Golden Globe nomination? Have you been binge-watching any TV shows lately? Was there a particular performance that stood out to you this year? And do you want to make the case for The Crown or Stranger Things, This Is Us, or one of the other big TV shows that are up there for awards season? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. The TV series Fargo is up for a few Golden Globes this year, including Best Television Limited Series or Motion Picture Made for Television. Earlier today, I talked to our WPR colleague and resident Fargo expert Adam Friedrich about that series and how it stands up to the Oscar-winning movie of the same name. So, Adam, for people who haven't seen Fargo, give us the Fargo elevator pitch. What's going on?
So the TV series is an adaptation from the 1996 award-winning Coen Brothers film Fargo. And count me among those that were a little apprehensive when I heard that this was being made into a television series, because that was such a unique film. It had such
It was one of a kind.
Right. Off-kilter sensibility. It was based in the Midwest, which was kind of unusual for those of us in the Midwest to see it depicted so well. So when they turned it into a TV. This is a terrible elevator pitch, by the way. when they turned it into a TV series, they really kept that spirit and the sensibility of the film. Mm-hmm. There is one plot line that does intersect with the film directly, but most of it is just it takes place 10 years later in 2006 in a different town. The film was in Brainerd, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Season one takes place in Bemidji, Minnesota. And then the following seasons, because it's an anthology series, bounce around the timeline of before and after the film.
And talk about what you like about it. You're into the show. It satisfied your desire to have a good TV show coming out of the movie.
It did, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Coen brothers were executive producers of the show, and Noah Hawley really, really pays homage to them in a lot of the dialogue, a lot of the shots, a lot of the tropes that they often use in a lot of their films. And that's what I really like as a Coen brothers fan. You know, that means kind of highlighting and satirizing that Minnesota nice or that Midwest nice that can be kind of passive aggressive, but also it has that same sense that the movie did, which is that dogged decency can always combat and upend that evil and amorality.
I like you. Met another fellow from Minnesota yesterday. Big guy, sheriff, I think. I liked him too.
We're very friendly people.
No, that's not it. Pretty unfriendly, actually. But it's the way you're unfriendly. How you're so polite about it. Like you're doing me a favor.
Yeah, people talk about, you know, Minnesota nice or Midwest nice more broadly being a nice thing and maybe a not so nice thing. And does this come through in the show?
It does. And again, it gets back to my earlier point that what made Fargo so famous was kind of that, oh yeah, you know, the dialect and the dialogue and the cadence of the characters. And this kind of hints that while that was kind of satirizing it, there was a lot of scenes where that was more passive aggressive than it was nice. And it was such an interesting world to play in for the Coens, and I think the show really continues that.
I want to talk about the plots in the show, which I haven't seen, but the plot of Fargo was this fiasco thing. A simple plan goes horribly wrong. Is that the sort of thing we see in the TV show?
Very much so. I think that's one of the tropes that Hawley has really taken from the Coens with the TV show, where almost every season of this show has a crime that goes woefully wrong. It's a desperate crime by some character who really needs to get a win in life, and then everything goes haywire and involves parties that probably shouldn't be involved with, and all of the fun that kind of comes with that, both in black comedy, but then also has that what Fargo the film had, which is very disturbing bursts of violence. And I think that's also where Hawley has had some fun and some ingenuity with the original depictions of some of that.
The movie was kind of funny and poignant in some ways and disturbing, as you were saying, in others. The TV show keeps that up?
It does.
So Golden Globe time this weekend. I'm assuming you haven't seen all the nominees. There's too many TV shows out there to see all of them. But do you think, hey, is this a show you'd hand an award to if you had the choice?
I would. And here's the thing of it, though. It's listed, because it's an anthology series, it's listed as a limited or mini-series.
Right.
So they did that as a network to basically up its percentage and to have it compete against, as an ongoing TV series, not have it go against some of the biggies like Game of Thrones, Stranger Things. They wanted to categorize it there, except it, this year it's up against HBO's Big Little Lies, which was a very strong miniseries that might get turned into a major series. So as much as I like this season of Fargo, I have a feeling Big Little Lies is going to win the limited series.
Adam, thanks a lot.
No problem.
That was our WPR colleague Adam Friedrich talking about the TV series Fargo, up for a Golden Globe this year, this Sunday, in fact. Now we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What was your TV show of the year last year? What did you watch as it came out or binge watch when you had the opportunity? What should win awards? Call 800-642-1234. If you want to make the case for one of the nominees, if you're watching, here's the drama ones. They've got The Crown, Game of Thrones, The Handmaid's Tale, Stranger Things, and This Is Us. Make the case for or against, if you want, any of those shows as the best drama of the year. You can call in at 800-642-1234. I bet we've got some Crown watchers out there anyway. I know we have some in the vicinity here. The best TV series, musical or comedy, the nominees were Black-ish, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Master of None, Smilf, and Will and Grace. So it is your chance to weigh in. 800-642-1234. What is your show of the year? What show are you watching? What are you recommending? What has been recommended to you? What did you like? What didn't you like? And on those nominee lists, what do you think should get an award? The Golden Globe in this case. 800-642-1234 is the number, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard a little bit about Big Little Lies there. It's up for 6 Golden Globes, including Laura Dern for Best Supporting Actress in that category. Here's a clip featuring her character, Laura Dern's character, Renata, confronting her young daughter about being bitten at school.
Was it that Ziggy?
I don't know.
All right.
Well,
all
just
right.
Tell us. All right. It's not all right. She's being
Renata.
Bullied. Oh, my God.
All right. Just get your voice
down. It's a bite. Someone is biting our daughter. Oh, my God. Okay. Honey, mommy is getting very upset. I'm getting very, very upset because someone is bullying you, and you never let a bully win. Do you hear me? You have to speak up, Amabella. You have to be a big girl and use your voice in this world. That's why they call me a bulldog, because I had to learn how to fight back with a bully.
Intense clip there from the show Big Little Lies, up for 6 Golden Globes. Looking for your calls at 800-642-1234. We're talking TV and the Golden Globe Awards coming up this Sunday. Join in quick, only a few minutes left of the show. 800-642-1234 with your TV show of the year. To our calls now, Linda is on the line in New Berlin. Linda, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your show, Linda?
I am addicted to the Netflix series called The Crown.
Okay, and that's the one. There are a couple royal shows out there. There's like Reign and The Crown. Which one is The Crown? That's the current Queen Elizabeth, right?
Right, Queen Elizabeth, and they kind of follow her life from a young girl. And then it's when she's married, to Prince Philip, and just sort of some of their life growing up and her challenges as a queen. It shows her personal life and her marriage and raising the kids and all the issues that she faces. And she does, I think she was nominated for a Golden Globe last year, the Claire Foy, the lead character, but she is absolutely positively amazing. It is so well done. The acting's phenomenal. The way they tell the story about, the monarchy and the challenges, the British monarchy and the challenges that it's had over the years to stay relevant and stay connected to, the common man and all the ups and downs of that over the years, the different wars that, that impacted the monarchy there and things. It's just really, really interesting. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Sounds good, Linda. I know a lot of people love The Crown. We do love our royalty here in America. We'll go next to Jack as we talk TV. Jack in Cedarburg. Jack, hi.
Hi. I can't say enough about the magnificent Mrs. Maisel.
Maisel.
My wife and I binged watched that over the Christmas break. Star of the show, her name was Midge on the show. She is a one-person act. She can hold the stage on her own. She did have a great supporting cast. Tony Shalhoub, who's from Appleton, as you know.
Right.
Plays her father. Her mother was, if you remember the show Two and a Half Men, Alan Harper's ex-wife.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I was just hearing about this show, and now I'm hearing everything about this show. It's supposed to be good. Thanks for that call, Jack. You can keep sharing your favorites on the Ideas Network Facebook page.